Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive. This week on the show, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, What I Googled This Week. And we have our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hey, everyone. Welcome Hi. To episode 26. So, Shauna, let's get right to it. What is going on with your week? Let's do our check-ins.
I am week 37, which means I have 2 weeks. Oh, my God. It's coming fast and furious. I can't even believe it. It's just like, oh, my God, there's so much going on in my mind trying to prep for this and trying to get ready. The good news is I have started my maternity leave. I took 2 weeks before my due date, my planned C-section.
So great.
Oh, so great. So I could have some time. The first few days were, of course, like the holiday, Thanksgiving, everything. But like the official maternity leave started Monday. I'm home. My kid goes to preschool. My husband goes to work and I'm home and I've just got my list of to-dos, which is long.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you find you're whittling it down or do you add more things?
That's a good question. I actually wrote a list and then just like set it on the desk and now it's just kind of living in my head. So I really don't know where I stand. But I do feel like I'm getting stuff done. Like the nursery is really coming along. For a very, very, very pregnant lady, I actually have quite a bit of energy.
That's great.
And yeah, I've been bustling around the house and painting and putting together furniture and putting up wall decals and decorating and organizing and doing all kinds of wonderful nesting things that just, oh, make me feel so good and happy. And so I actually feel really happy and I'm really excited about my baby coming soon. And I overall feeling really good.
That's great. This is what I want to hear. You know, I feel like while we all need to work and make money, the mood difference that happens when you get to have some time to yourself, especially after being so overwhelmed. It's just huge in how it affects your energy levels and your mood.
Totally. And especially since I was sick for like a month with that cold virus, like one after another, I think I just feel so renewed. I'm just like, wait, I'm not sniffling. I'm not, I don't know. It just, I feel really, really good. And I'm just a person who loves to organize and decorate and make my house feel lovely. That's one of my favorite things. So to have time to do that just really lifts me up and makes me happy. So that's cool.
One of my favorite Gretchen Rubin sayings, which is outer order breeds inner calm. It's kind of hard to say. Outer order breeds inner calm. But I totally agree with that. It's just so nice to know that everything's in its right place and I'm jealous because that's
100%.
That's all I want to do right now. And, you know, I've still been working. So all I want to do is do what you've been doing.
Which I guess you're going to be there so soon.
Yes. More on that later.
But I do have one other check-in I forgot to mention last week, and it's still relevant, is I'm now at the point where I'm doing my weekly appointments with my obstetrician.
Oh, yeah.
And part of my protocol is doing this non-stress test to check the baby's heartbeat and how she's responding to movement and contractions and stuff. So I'm hooked up. I go in, I get hooked up to this heart rate monitor. They like strap a belt on me and like find her heart rate and like strap it on. And I'm just like listening to her heartbeat on this machine and I can see like when I have a Braxton Hicks or she moves or something, like this little needle, it like actually prints out as it's like tracking her heartbeat. It goes up, 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 and then her heartbeat goes up, 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 and then it goes down. And I have to sit there for like 30 minutes and the doctor comes in and like checks to make sure that I guess she's responding well to movement and stuff like that. So I'm gonna be doing that every week now until she's born. And he did an ultrasound to check like the amniotic fluid and he said that's looking good and just checking her position. And so far all clear, knock on wood. It's been going well.
So those non-stress tests, does everyone get them or is it only like higher risk or us, you know, geriatric pregnancies that get them?
No, I don't think everyone gets them. And I don't even think it's necessarily the geriatric people. It all depends on circumstances. I did do them with my last pregnancy, but that's because one day I came in with like really high blood pressure. Mm. And honestly, I know it's because my commute across the city to my doctor's office drove me bananas. And so I was like so amped up. But to be cautious, they did it for me. And for this one, the perinatologist, the specialist, recommended I do this because of IVF and my marginal cord insertion on my placenta and certain things. So I don't think you'll be doing it unless there's a reason.
Yeah, my doctor hasn't mentioned anything. But yeah. You know what's funny is that my last appointment, which there was this week, I'll talk about it in a second. But I always have really low, not low, like dangerously low, but like low normal blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And this particular appointment, I had like high normal blood pressure and I was like all disappointed. I was like, what happened? And I just realized I was running late and stuck in traffic.
Yes.
It's so fascinating how stress like that can mess with it. I'll have to like make sure I have like a lot of time for the next one and see how it goes. See if my blood pressure is low. Because I haven't even had coffee today. What's going on? But yeah, it's probably because I was running late. And Corey was waiting for me already at the doctor's office, and I was all stressed out. I hate being late. I don't know about you. I hate being late to things. Like, it gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah, me too. Especially when it's like there's traffic involved. I think I've spoken about a traffic breakdown earlier on this podcast. I don't know. It drives me crazy. So there's a definite correlation. Give yourself a little buffer of time this time and see if you have lower blood pressure again.
I should. I'm going to.
All right. Well, that's my check-in for the week. What about you?
Well, I'm at 33 weeks. And nice. Yes, I know. It also seems so fast and furious on my end. And things are chugging along. I'm starting to get a little more uncomfortable. And I went in. Now I'm at the point where we're doing doctor's appointments every 2 weeks. So I went in for my appointment this week and it was pretty standard. My doctor he does a quick ultrasound every time just to check and, no pictures or anything. But so at the last couple appointments, so at 31 weeks and 29 weeks, my baby's head has been like up and right up under my ribs. So in a breech position, but it's not considered breech until, I don't know, 36 weeks or something. So my doctor said, your baby's breech, but don't worry about it. The last couple of times, he's like, there's plenty of time to flip. This time, baby's head is in the exact same position. He's like, well, there's still time to flip. I'm only moderately concerned, is what he says.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I'm like, great. And what he said was that, babies who are consistently breech, sometimes it's because there's sort of like a physical thing that's in the way. Like he said, some women have heart-shaped uteruses.
What?
That prevent the babies from turning, or there could be a short cord, I guess, that makes it hard for him to turn. But yeah, so he's like, I'm not concerned yet. Or he was like, it's nothing to be concerned about. Maybe moderately concerned, but not totally concerned. We'll just see what happens. I'm like, okay. So I actually was already planning on making an appointment to go to a chiropractor for the SPD, the pubic symphysis pain that I've been having.
Right.
We've talked about a bunch. And so one of the things that chiropractors claim to be able to do is sort of like open you up and loosen up your joints and bones and ligaments so that babies can turn more easily. So I actually had just made the appointment. It's going to be for next week.
Was this a chiropractor who specializes in that kind of thing? Or?
Yes. So the place I found is in Pasadena. And like they literally just do pregnant people and babies. I didn't even know there was such a thing as baby chiropractors.
Wait, they do the chiropractic on babies?
Yeah, on infants. Yeah, I didn't.
Why?
Apparently, like to help with things like torticollis, where your neck is like tweaked to one side, and I don't know. I literally had never considered that babies and kids would need chiropractic care.
Same.
I figured if they do babies and pregnant people only, that at least they know what they're doing. I'm not going to go to some random person who's going to like put me in a position that's uncomfortable and hurt the baby or something. So yeah, so I have an appointment next week, so we'll see what they say.
Cool. I'm excited to hear about the check-in.
All right.
Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
And now for our next segment, What I Googled This Week, where Laura and I divulge what we've been asking the internet about pregnancy and, yeah, all that good stuff. What have you been asking the internet, Laura?
Well, this is a continuation of my check-in, really. So I was just discussing how my baby is currently breech. And for people who don't know, breech means their head is up and not down in your pelvis, which is the way it needs to be to easily get out of your uterus and through your birth canal and out into the world. Otherwise, you generally need a C-section. I know there are people who will deliver breech babies, but it's risky and I don't want to do that.
That sounds painful.
Oh boy, it sounds painful. So basically my options are get this baby to turn around somehow or, you know, have a C-section, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but, you know, it's more recovery and more cost and all that stuff. So what I Googled was ice pack to turn breech babies.
So are you looking for a technique to turn your own baby? Is that even possible? And ice might do the trick?
Maybe. So, okay. So there's like a whole world of people who claim to be able to spin your babies. There's actually a website and like a whole technique called spinning babies, like spinningbabies.com, which I spent some time on. And there's like a lot of like yoga style poses. You're supposed to do all these inversions and like, you know, special stretches to try to get the baby to move. There's also like more sort of forceful techniques that you definitely don't want to do yourself that like an obstetrician would do, where they like physically try to turn the baby inside your uterus. My doctor mentioned this and he's like, we don't generally do it because it's super duper painful and it carries a risk of preterm birth, like triggering labor.
Oh, Lordy.
So I'm not interested in that at all. I'm like, painful and preterm? No, no, thank you.
And also, like, if the baby, because you mentioned there's maybe something that's preventing the baby from being in that position, like if it has a short cord or a heart-shaped uterus, like, should you really be, like, trying to force that baby into a position it doesn't want to be in?
I don't think you should, but there's a lot of people who think that it's safe, and that's, and I think it's done, but I have no interest in that. Like,
yeah.
There's so many people who are, like, no C-section under, you know, any cost. I'm like, I'd rather have a C-section than have someone like try to push the baby around in my uterus.
Oh my
But so there are all
why the ice? How did you come across that?
Okay, so after like looking at all the yoga poses and stuff, which I do a lot of stuff like that anyway, because I've been going on and off to prenatal yoga, and also I have really bad heartburn, and so like all the inversions I just can't do. It would just result in terrible, terrible reflux. So I'm limited at what I can do. And so I was just sort of like tooling around on Google, seeing what else could happen. And people kept mentioning the hot and cold method. And I was like, what? Mm. And so it's mostly like the places I found, resources for this quote unquote are like blogs and babycenter.com posts about people trying it. But the idea is that you put an ice pack at the top, you know, where the baby's head is, and then you put something warm down low, I guess, like by your crotch or like down, you know, down at the bottom of your belly. And the idea is that the baby sort of like seeks out the warmth and will sort of naturally turn towards the warmth. Like some people will do this sitting in like a shallow bath too. I have to say, I'm not against trying this. I haven't done it yet because, like, it's been kind of chilly here.
Yeah,
and I'm just like,
cool.
I don't want to put an ice pack on my stomach. But also the idea, if, like, you can do something simple like that and it might encourage the baby to turn, like, why not? You know, no one's getting hurt. You know what I mean? I'm not going to keep the ice pack on long enough to hurt. And then I'm like, oh, man, You know how I was like icing my crotch for all that time because of the pubic symphysis pain? I'm like, oh man, did I like encourage this baby to stay head up? Because he was like, that's cold down there.
Oh my God. He's like, I'm not going down south.
I know.
Burr.
Oh man. He's in for a shock being born in January.
Yeah.
I mean, January in Los Angeles.
These LA winters are so frigid.
It might be 65 degrees outside. But you know, here's the other thing about spinning babies. Apparently only like 5 to 8% of babies are breech when you hit full term, which
that's low.
I know, it's really low. I thought it would be much higher than that. So it's kind of like a weird, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like if 92% of babies are all going to be head down by the end anyway, one way or another. It seems like all these like techniques to spin babies are just coincidence, right?
Oh, yeah. Especially depending on like at what point the pregnant mom gets the service.
Right.
Like, is it nature that's taking care of it or actually the service?
Yeah, there's like there's no good way to tell unless you did a study where you had a like large group of women who were initially breech at like say like 35 weeks and you sent half of them to, you know, spinningbabies.com and then didn't inform the other half and then saw if there was any improvement. That would be the way to do it, but
yeah.
I don't think anyone's done that. I don't think anyone's done that with ice packs.
it's probably big all ice anecdotal. Pack study.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. But again, if it can't hurt, I will try it. So
yeah, go for it.
You know, stay tuned. Find out what happens.
Ooh, if the ice pack. Maybe I'll edge of my seat.
Maybe I'll try to record an audio diary of doing the ice pack.
Please do.
anyway, Shauna, what were you Googling this week?
So this week I typed into my search bar, what to do with a newborn, which is crazy since I've already had a newborn and taken care of her. But let me tell you, Laura, that stuff goes out of your mind. Like, just life moves on so fast. Your kid grows up and you kind of forget like what to do. And it just occurred to me and I have 2 weeks to go and I'm just like so focused on painting the nursery and like all these really superficial things that I'm almost like, what do I do with this baby once it's out of my body and I bring it home? Like, I kind of forgot like how often,
like,
I'm
not like
to feed
what
her.
To do, like, not like what concerts to go to, what, like, not what to do, like, not activities, but like literally what do I do with this thing?
Yes, that's what I was trying to get the answer to. And let me tell you, most of Google just wants to tell me what activities to do with my newborn, like how to play with your newborn. And it's like, no. I don't know. I don't even know what exactly I was looking for or if I found it. But the first time around, I read a book called Heading Home with Your Newborn that I found helpful. But in the time since I gave birth, we gave that book away to someone else to help them.
So you're like, I know how to do this. I don't need it anymore.
And I promptly forgot. Like, I just remember vaguely I had a lot of like routines. Like, I would feed her every few hours, I think, and like a nap, like a sleeping schedule and the witching hour. Like, some of these things are so vague. And I guess I'm just going to have to dive into it again because like all Google was telling me is like, your baby's skin might be dry. wiggle your fingers in front of your baby's eyes to stimulate her vision and just like little activities and things that seem so obvious. So I don't know.
I bet it'll come back to you.
I hope so.
It'll be like riding a bike.
I have no choice. I've just got to dive right in.
Yeah. I'm sure you have that hidden somewhere in the back of your brain. Also, you know, you're a smart person.
Yeah.
And you've done it once before. Like, I think you'll be able to figure it out a second time.
Yeah. It's just funny how like the practical stuff has not occurred to me this time around, I guess, because I've just been so busy and I have another kid and my house is in disarray and I'm trying to get all this stuff in order. I don't think it's hit me and Steve 100% yet that like we're actually bringing home a newborn
in
a couple weeks.
You're throwing a newborn into that mix.
Yeah. Yeah. So reality's going to hit us real soon. I am excited, like I mentioned earlier, but also a little bit like, Yeah.
Well, next week I have my child care and breastfeeding class that's sponsored by the hospital. So cool. I could take extra notes for you.
Thank you very much. Please do.
My friend who's done this once before doesn't remember.
That's fantastic. Well, that's all. That's all I got for my Googling this week.
All right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products at work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolavie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
So we close the show every week with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, what do you have, a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFN.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, which for as good as I feel, I am actually sleeping like shit at night.
Yeah.
I mean, horrible. It hasn't been good for a while, but it's just hit like max shit this week to the point where like I wake up like after a couple hours after going to sleep because I have to pee, and then I'll just lay there thinking, obsessing, feeling physically uncomfortable, or the baby's moving a ton while I'm trying to sleep and I can't get comfortable. So I just like finally like wake up and look at my phone for a few hours, and yeah. I'm just not that kind of person. I will lay there for like an hour to hour and a half trying to put myself back to sleep before I'll be like, all right, I guess I'll look at my phone and like be awake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's gotten to that. And I think it's a combo of having to pee constantly, the baby moving a ton right now. She's just big and strong and kind of like, I don't know, trying to get comfy in there. So she's kicking me a lot and my hips hurt, my shoulders hurt, everything hurts. And oh, it's just so hard. So I'm very, very exhausted during the days. And so it's really good I'm on maternity leave and I can squeeze in naps and stuff.
Yeah. You know, I'm starting to get to that point too, where it's just sleeping is so hard and it drives me crazy. The thing that people keep saying, I do get this a lot where people are like, sleep now.
And you're
And you're like, sure, I'd love to. That sounds fantastic. You know what's getting in the way of that? Having a giant belly. Having an alien in my stomach that's kicking me constantly and rolling around and doing weird shit in there.
And then, it's like the baby, you know, the baby is inside my body right now, right?
Yes.
It's inside it.
So like, no one else can take care of it. Like, at least, like, after the baby's born, you can be like, husband, take this child and let me sleep.
Totally.
And, you know, you can't sleep in any position that's comfortable. And then the minute you fall asleep, like, so, you're so comfortable, finally, you gotta pee.
Yep.
Or for me, like, heartburn flares up.
Oh,
a reflux. Like, I have this thing where the baby will kick me right in the stomach or something. I don't really understand, like, the logistics of it, but I'll just be lying there and, like, it's always right as I'm, like, just finally falling asleep.
No.
And then it's like I have to sit up straight in bed because I feel like I'm going to throw up because it's like, nope, no rest for you. So
no rest. Wake up, mommy.
So people who have kids, please stop telling pregnant women to get sleep now.
Yes.
Please stop.
Yeah.
It's... We want to. And we know. And no one has to. Like, when in the world do you have to be reminded to get sleep? That's what I want to know.
People love to remind people to get sleep. Another thing, too, this is a minor pet peeve of mine because I know people have good intentions. But I hate being reminded to take naps. I don't like naps. I've never liked naps. Sleeping during the day for me messes me up. I wake up groggier. I might have talked about this before, but everyone seems to think that I need naps all the time. And I'm like, I don't know. I'd rather push through being tired and go to bed early at night. That's just me. But man, people love to give me that advice.
Who tells you that? Have I ever told you that?
I don't think you have. No. I think Steve likes to. He's very concerned for me, but he knows how I feel about naps. And I don't know. You field advice from all different angles when you're pregnant, so.
You really do.
Yeah.
People definitely want to give you all the advice.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure it's going to come fast and furious when I'm recovering from that C-section, too. Lots of advice and being told to take naps and stuff. So I'll try to be cool about it, but I might not take naps, people. I'm not a napper. I'm not.
She's not a napper.
I just am not, unless I'm just crashed. Like, literally, my body won't go anymore. Then I will crash. But
see, I love a nap, but no one has to tell me to take a nap. You know what
I
mean?
Like, maybe I get told because I'm not a napper, and some other people think they need to tell me. Like, maybe. I don't know it or something. I don't know.
Like, you don't know the joy. Like, of course you've tried to take naps before.
Mm-hmm.
You're a 40-year-old woman. You know how to do. Like, you've tried.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never have I been like, oh, you know what? No one's told me to take a nap this week. And I just completely forgot.
Oh, my God. People worry about me and my napping.
I've never once worried about your napping.
Thank you.
It's never crossed my mind.
Good. Thank you. Oh, my God. Anyway, that's my BFN. What do you have?
All right. So I have a BFP.
Woo.
And it's a big one. I'm really excited about this. So I have complained copiously on this podcast about how stressed out I was about work and how it's been harder and harder to sit at my desk and how I don't know, you know, how I'm going to make it to what my maternity, early maternity leave was supposed to be early, or, you know, sort of standard. I think in California, it's pretty standard to take about 4 weeks before your due date if you can, like if you can afford it. But the California disability kicks in for 4 weeks before your due date. Pretty standard, right? So
that's odd. Yeah. I mean, if you choose to opt for it, it's automatic. Like, you don't have to get extra documentation or anything for that.
Yes. So that was my plan. So my plan was, my due date is January 12th, and I was planning on taking me leave like December 12th. And part of that was because I was building, I'm a web developer, and I was building this gigantic site that was supposed to launch December 5th. Well, I hit all my deadlines. Like, and I mean, it was very hard for me to hit all my deadlines, especially because the client was a little late. And this is a thing that happens all the time, you know. The client doesn't realize how long it's going to take to gather up their content and give feedback and all this stuff. So the client had been late getting us what we needed, but we rolled with the punches. And especially knowing that I was leaving on maternity leave, I was like, I got to get this done. There's no wiggle room. Like, I can't ask for an extension. I don't want to ask for an extension. Mm-hmm. I will just get this done. So I hit my deadlines. I got it completely ready for internal review. We reviewed it. I fixed up all this stuff. And then we sent it off to the client on time. Super excited about that. And then we were supposed to launch December 5th. And then I figured I'd have a week of support for the site. So you launch and then you make sure you fix up any problems in the week. And then I was supposed to take leave.
Right. And that would get you up to December 12th.
Yeah, that would get me right up to a month before my due date. And it was starting to seem so long and I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I was like crying about it to my husband and just sort of mentally preparing just to suck it up and do what I need to do. Well, right before Thanksgiving, we sent it to the client and they were supposed to have a week to review. And this week I found out that the client wrote back and said that they felt rushed. Even though everything was up to, you know, it was the timeline they approved and everything mm-hmm. was on the up and up. But they said, you know, they realized they felt rushed and they wanted more time for review and that they wanted to push the site launch to January.
Oh, well, that gets you off the hook.
Exactly. So I looked at this and I'm like, well, I'm not going to have, usually the way it works is they give us feedback and then I go in and fix all the problems they find or the requests, but they're not even going to have their review done until probably till the new year.
Oh,
so
yes,
I don't have to do that shit.
That's so great.
So I was talking with the guy who contracted me out for this big job. And I was like, hey, so I'm just going to bow out at the end of this week then, if that's cool with you. You know, I could be around vaguely for questions or, you know, if you can't find a password to log into things or whatever, but I'm not going to be working. And he was like, yeah, you should do that. He has like a 4-month-old or something, so he knows how it is. He's mm-hmm. like, yeah, go for it. So I got a 2-week like freedom, like early maternity leave.
Yay! That's so now awesome.
I'm on maternity leave starting at the end of this week. I'm so excited.
That's so great.
And my doctor said because of my SPD, he's cool with signing off on trying to get disability early because, you know, I can't really sit at my desk for very long and doing my work has just been torturous. So yes.
That's great. So have you filed for the disability yet?
No, I have to. Apparently, you have to do it like you could only do it starting the first day of your leave, which would be next week. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I am doing it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
That's so great. I'm so happy.
It's such a relief. Such a relief.
So now you can focus all that energy on your nesting and organizing and...
Oh, I'm going to clean that closet, Shauna. I'm going to clean it so good.
It's going to feel so good.
Anyway, so that's my happy BFP. And I think that's our show.
I think it is. Cool. Thanks for chatting.
Yes. It's always nice to talk to you, Shauna.
Thank you guys all so much, as always, for listening. If you would like to get in touch with us and let us know your BFPs, BFNs, ask us any questions, you can do so. We want to hear from you. Laura, where can they find us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community you can join. And we have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, where we'll post our show notes.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Barrick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Paul, I met with one. Oh,
okay. Man.
Sasha.
The gardener came to leave the invoice. He must do the neighbor's Leon. Okay, guys. You guys are good recording buddies until someone's outside.